Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
You know, when you said you're rolling, you see me rolling. They hating.
Trying to catch me.
Bright and dirty.
Yeah, it took me a minute.
Huh? I know, right? I was like, come on now. You got it. We're about to pull your brown card.
It's been a long day. Wait, that is what made me lose my brown card, not knowing the lyrics to Ride and Dirty.
I mean, everybody, there's certain songs that you just are like, come on now.
I've given you so many other reasons. I didn't know who Remy Ma was at first.
Yeah, that was crazy. So tell me that at least you you don't really watch Ratchet TV. Do you watch Real Housewives of Atlanta?
So yesterday I spent 6 hours watching The Great British Bake Off on Netflix. So
child, you had me excited. Like, yes, you're welcome into the Ratchet Club. Girl, I'm stripping you of your Ratchet card has been revoked. Not that it was your application was pending and you just got, you know, you're like, you put to the bottom of the pile.
I'm okay with that.
And so typically I don't, but Ratchet TV helps me wash dishes. And so
I'm not judging. No, for sure. I mean, your Nikki Leaks is my, is that her name?
Y'all. She said Nikki Leaks, y'all.
And
Nene Leaks.
Yes, her. And that's the only one I know. She's your Paul and Mary. I know we have to have some listeners who watch The Great British Bake Off. Like, we have to. Or at least the American version.
I didn't even know there's such a thing. Tell me at least. I mean, like, well, I watch HGTV. I'm assuming you partake.
I used to when we paid for cable, and now it is harder to find, so not as much.
Well,
but yeah. I love my Property Brothers. I love Magnolia.
Ooh, I love Fixer Upper. That's my favorite.
Are you ready to see your Fixer Upper?
Shiplap.
Shiplap. I had to Google, what the hell is Shiplap?
I know.
And the silos. I'm like, what is the silo place to keep going to? Yeah, I love.
So anyway, for those of you who do partake in a little Ratchet from time to time, so I don't watch the show, but I do watch the reunion episodes because, I mean, if you really want to just get to the drama, I'm just like, I really don't care about the day-to-day to the show, but the reunion episodes are life. And I was like, ooh, Phaedra, caught in that lie. For those of you, I know Mandy's like, I have no idea what she's talking about, but for those of you who are listening, Phaedra got what was coming through her. I can't stand Phaedra.
Anyone named Phaedra, not to stereotype, belongs on that show. They're up to no good.
Right? So Phaedra, honey, finally, anything done in the dark will come out to light. Like a grandma would say, right? This is the black grandma saying, what doesn't come out in the wash will, what doesn't come out in the wash will come out in the rinse. Wait, something like that. I don't know. I had an African grandma. She didn't, those are not her type of parables. But anyway. Something basically that, like, nothing secret, you know, will stay secret long. So that was just a little, you know, little beginning Ratchet opening up. So have you been, Mandra?
Swell. Simply swell. It was a rough week, man. I don't know if when you leave for vacation and you come back to work the first week. It was rough. I had, like, a real world hangover. I'm like, I forgot how early the mornings are and how much coffee I need. But I'm back. I'm back at it.
I was going to ask how it was coming back after, like, your whirlwind life, you know?
It's hard. It's not like it used to be when I used to working at a big company where you could be gone for a week or two and then come back. And it's like you just kind of pick up where you left off.
But, you know, being just in a management role and then at a smaller company, when I came back, it was like, oh, okay, these million things piled up, and then you have all these million things to edit and stuff. So just a little bit of catch up, but I feel a lot better now. I feel a lot. And we had a very relaxing weekend where I like didn't leave the house really on, like had some friends over on Saturday and cooked. And then Sunday, I, like I said, Great British Bake Off all day.
I'm trying to think, do I binge on any shows? It's very rare. Typically, you know, after an episode or two, I'm like, all right, I'm over it. But like every once in a while, like I've binged on Blue Bloods. That was pretty good. Me and Superman before.
Is that J-Lo show?
Ciao, Mandy.
No. No? Oh, I was sure I was right. I was sure. Wait. Oh, no. What's Blue Bloods? Like, I'm really good with TV, usually. I know the shows.
I swear, like, that, you know, you would think that Mandy, I was a millennial, and Mandy was not. I mean, like, Mandy's like, baby, could you turn up the heat? It's cold in here.
It is
no,
cold.
No, it's not. No, it's like some, I don't even know what channel it comes on. I just, like, watch it on Netflix sometimes.
What the hell is her show called, then? Because I swear it's Blue something.
It probably is, but I don't watch... too much like current TV. Instead, I'm like, if I'm gonna watch TV, it's typically HGTV, and then if there's something ratchet on occasion, I'll partake. But I just go back to work, because honestly, I'm just like, it's just kind of like my escape away when I'm like, oh, I don't want to think about anything responsible. Where are the housewives?
You know? Yes, I think we all need that little bit of like, just give your brain a mental. If you have a job that's like mentally draining, some jobs aren't so mentally draining; they're physically draining or whatever. But like, at the end of the day, my brain hurts and you just don't, you just can't think anymore. That's why when people ask me, oh, you must listen to all those financial podcasts. You're in, you know, personal finance, whatever. I'm like, sure don't. Yep. Sure don't.
me either.
I read and talk about this stuff all day. I don't know anything about, you know, these financial podcasts or whatnot, because I just can't take anymore. I want to listen to like all the, like the storytelling podcasts. And,
yeah.
Like,
I have to get into some. You have to give me some
crime. I like the crime ones. There's some good ones. Yeah, I love, if you're looking for like a good storytelling podcast, it doesn't get better than Strangers. It's, this is like amazing narrative. Okay. And every episode, usually there might be a couple that are two-parters, but usually it's it's about an hour and a half episode, and she really like tells a story, and the stories are all over the place. Like how this family adopted these two Haitian children from Miami and then ends up adopting their mother and bringing everyone over to, you know, to like the story of a girl who's, you know, sexually assaulted by her father and then finds, you know, resolution. It's just, it's really good. I don't mean to go on a tangent.
Okay. No, because I've started to go back in the gym in the morning and I need something to keep me from looking like at the clock. Literally, I'm like, really? 1 minute? Oh my gosh, you know, like when I'm like on the treadmill or whatever. And I'm like, I need something that's going to keep me going, you know? And so I need to be entertained, you know? So I'm looking for some good podcasts to start to get into, because music doesn't do it for me. Like I can listen for a little bit, then I'm like, oh,
I hear you. Right. I totally hear you. Yeah.
You know? So like either I talk to a friend on the phone, or, and that's not really all that productive, because then I'm like, let me slow the treadmill down. I'm breathing too hard.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm like, if I can listen to something that's like engaging, it'll keep me going for longer.
Oh. But people are not here to listen to us talk about other podcasts.
I know. Welcome. I know.
Welcome today, to Brown Ambition.
I had a big milestone today. It was so random. Me and Superman are so random.
I wasn't sure if I could say anything. So I'm excited that you got to it already.
I sent you the picture like, it's happening. We were at City Hall, really, because we had a meeting with the Housing and Economic Development Office, because we've been having trouble finding a house, as you know. And so I wanted to be like, you know, what's going on? Is there something that you guys can do? And are there programs and whatever? So we had a really good meeting where they're going to help us to really move forward in the home buying process, because, you know, the first house we were so excited about, but then it didn't pass inspection. It was like contaminated soil, messed up foundation, blah, blah, blah. Everything was wrong. So we had to walk away. Second house, you know, the other two or three houses that we've seen since then that we put in offers for, we've been outbid. So it's been like really disappointing. So I was like, well, you know what? Let me go to the city to see if they have some him helping some solutions, and they are going to help us. So I'm excited about that. So hopefully in, you know, a few months, something will pop. And while we were there, because last week we'd gone to get a marriage license, but the city of Newark, didn't we talk about this last week? They held up for ransom. Yeah. That was really weird.
They were hacked.
Yeah. And right. So the hacker, you know, held, you know, the city or their city's files anyway for ransom for like $30,000. I'm like, what are you, 12? You know, like it just seemed like such a random arbitrary number. So anyway, either they fixed it or they paid them. And so when we were there today, he was like, you know what, we should go downstairs to see if we can get our marriage license. I'm like, I didn't bring our application, but we could probably fill it out downstairs. But I'm like, do I have a random bill? Because you have to bring a bill with you to prove residency. And I happen to have, and this like never happens, I happen to have a random light bill in my purse. I'm like, oh. And it was recent. It was like this month's light bill. I was like, well, this works out perfectly. But then we also needed a witness. And so he was like, well, let me see, you know, my best friend. And he happened to be like around the corner, which was also weird. I'm like, look at the universe just lining everything up. He's like, I'm actually around the corner at a diner. So he was like, well, come around. So here I was.
Did you just cobble together a wedding and
I know.
10 minutes?
I know. When you apply for the license, you're just applying for the license. You're not, you know, it's not like you didn't get married. And so you apply for the license and then they ask you, you know, when you're going to get married or where. And then we were like, well, we're just going to go to the Justice of the Peace, which in Newark is just the courthouse, which is next door. And she was like, all right, take this slip to the courthouse and they'll give you a date. And I was like, okay. It felt so weird and surreal. I was like, all right. So we went to the courthouse and they were like, you know, this is the nearest date, you know? And I was like, okay, is that when you want to get married? And he was like, sure. He was like, give us the soonest date you have. And I was like, okay.
And they're like, oh, it's that kind of wedding. Yeah. Congratulations.
and then it's so crazy because I have a business trip literally the next day. And I was like, babe, maybe we should pick another date because I have a business trip. And he was like, I mean, our life is like, it's not like, you know, we're already living together. We're, you know, so he was like, well, that's just life. So I was like, okay. So we're just going to go to the courthouse. I am going to you know, get something cute and wear something cute. But it's exciting, but weird. Because I thought to myself, I wasn't going to think it was a big deal. Because, you know, like, I feel like, well, we're, like, married now. But then you're like, whoa. I see what you mean, Mandy. I'm like, I feel like it's, like, real, you know?
Because a big deal. Make it a big deal. I mean, I know you're doing it low-key, but you should still make it a – I think it's really special. You should, like –
I text my friend who, she's a makeup artist. And so she, like, I have a bunch of friends who are makeup artists, but she was amazing when she did my face. And so I texted her. She's like, oh, yeah, I'm available. I was like, yes. And so I'm going to reach out to another friend of mine who makes wedding gowns to see if she's going to make something like simple and really cute and like summery for me. I'm really excited to be getting married, like, you know, when the weather's going to be nice. Cause like, that's so me. I don't want to wear like, you know, some big, heavy, gown. I want something like floaty and like a summer dress, you know?
So is it, cute. How soon is the, when's the big day? Can I ask?
It's going to be in June.
Oh, a June wedding.
I know. Shut up. At the end of June, I'll just say, because I feel like some people are crazy. You'd be surprised. I've eaten places and people have just shown up. So I'm like, I just kind of don't want someone to be like, I heard you're going to get married today.
I know how it is in Newark. Tiffany is a public figure.
So you just never know. I love you, DA.
They come by with like a potato salad.
Like a cake. And then afterwards, we'll probably like, you know, like me and because I'm just literally just like my mom, my dad, my sisters and my two best friends and his immediate family. And then we're going to have a big, to me, when we get our house, then I want to have a big invite everybody that we care about. Well, not big, but, you know, the reception / party when we get a house. And so that's it. So I'm excited, though.
Because I'm like, big.
I know. I'm like, wait, I'm going to be a married lady. It feels so weird. I never really thought I was going to get married. I'm not going to lie. Yeah, so.
Capital W wife. It is a big deal.
I know. I'm like, whoa, this seems weird. And it's so crazy. Like, I have not cooked in, like, forever. I'm the worst sometimes. So, like, I'm the type that, like, I will, like, go
you
hard.
You say that every episode. Like, literally every episode. It's been so long. I feel so bad. I cooked some dinner tonight. So at least every other Sunday or Monday, you are cooking dinner. It can't
be that
bad.
The thing is, like, when I cook, like, I'll, like, go hard for, like, 2 or 3 weeks, and then I'll take off a week. Like, I don't feel like doing anything. And so I was like, I felt like in such a good wifely mood. I'm like, I'm going to make a full dinner. I made meatloaf, roasted potatoes, roasted vegetables. And I even made gravy from scratch for the first time.
Ooh, delicious.
I know. I didn't even know how. I had to call a friend of mine. I was like, I'll take, I don't know how to do this for 200, Alex. So that's my life.
Well, while you were out getting married and I was honeymooning, apparently, like, the Republicans finally got around to completely effing up our healthcare system. Well, they're halfway there anyway. This new, I love how they're calling it, what are they calling it? The American Health Act or something like that, their replacement for Obamacare. So strike one, they didn't get their first plan through. So now they've pushed through some kind of turd. Yeah. Through the house.
It does seem like that. Like they were like,
they're like, just eat this shit pie that we made for you. Like, I just keep thinking of what's her face from The Help. You know, when she makes the, poops in the pie and then feeds it. Like, we're the white woman who's being fed the shit pie right now is sort of how I feel. This healthcare act is like, I don't know what else to say about it. Just big fat turd.
Well, I mean, it's only it has to still pass the what? The Senate?
It has to go through the Senate, yeah. Okay. But the fact that the House passed it, I think, is what's frightening. Because at least the last time it was blocked, and I think the biggest shocker, not shocker, but the fact that they're eliminating $800 billion from the Medicaid system, and somehow think that Medicaid's going to get better and that it's going to bring more healthcare to more people. And I'm like, I don't understand how tax cuts for the rich and then taking away $800 billion is going to make that any better. And on top of that, it's going to make things like pregnancy, being a woman, like a lot of women related needs, like a pre-existing condition where you could, like, you may still get healthcare, but you may have to pay a lot more for it.
Yeah. And I mean, I am definitely not going to say that, you know, the system that, you know, President Obama put, you know, brought into existence was perfect. It wasn't. It was expensive and a little bit convoluted, but it was a start to something. I feel like folks just didn't want it because it was him, you know, certain people, you know, that like if you said, hey, I want to fix healthcare, because that's what it should be. It's like this president brought in a system that we didn't have at all before, where everyone should have healthcare. It's not perfect. So every president should be improving upon it versus just saying like, well, no. You know, like, I just feel like it's more about, you know, discrediting his legacy than it is about really wanting to help people. And I'm just like, and then so crazy, I think to myself of the people, some of the people that voted for him and how they're going to suffer. And I'm like, do you even realize, you know what I mean? Like, did you really think this billionaire was this down to earth guy who was like, you know what, you there, you know, in the backwoods of Alabama, I'm for you. Like, are you crazy? That's not what's happening. Like, it's just, I don't know. Well, I mean, I guess if anything, is the one thing that this has helped is that you saw the French elections.
I did, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that some of the results. I mean, I was just reading this article from the New York Times called "What is it? What's wrong with France?" or something like that, and basically saying that part of the reason why, you know, whatever his name was, starts with the M. He won over basically their Donald Trump was because of our Donald Trump, you know?
Yeah, Marie Le Pen, yeah. She was like the populist, complete, like the xenophobic, the Trump of France, essentially. So it was kind of like a sigh of relief that she didn't win because it was looking like she was going to lose. I mean, sorry, that she was going to, if not win, but at least get a bigger share. And I think I read, this was last night, so maybe it changed, but it looked like she had that the guy who won, Macron, had, or is that how you say his name? Macron?
I think so.
I took 4 years of French, I should know. That he got like 64% of the vote, which was a huge margin.
Yeah, and I heard it actually was more like 66. And
really?
Had,
okay.
Yeah, so like really, I think I was like this morning when I was on the treadmill, I was like, oh, you know, and it was just crazy. And so many people, like, I was just like reading like article after article, and so many folks were like, we don't want what happened in America to happen here.
Well, he was still different. He was still an independent candidate, completely sort of like he was he rebuked sort of like the status quo in French government. But at least he wasn't like the xenophobic crazy person.
Yeah.
Trump. I wish it almost makes you wish, you know, he was a little bit Bernie-esque, I guess.
Yeah, okay.
If not in his policies, I don't know much about his policies. I don't think it was his policies that made him Bernie-esque, but he was like the anti-Hillary, but still on the other side. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like not so establishment and different. He's like
yeah
39 years old too. He's so
I
young.
know, that's crazy.
He's a baby.
Yeah, I was like, oh, so like my brother's gonna be like, so what we're gonna do is right? Yeah, so I mean,
So the world's
I don't
not
know.
totally in a hell, going to hell in a handbasket, but it certainly feels like, well, I mean, I was reading something about Gloria Steinem said about Trump, and I think we can all agree that yes, he's a class A moron and completely incompetent and has no idea what he's doing in this job. But he's also, I think, made America wake up in a way and pay
Yep.
attention in a way that we haven't before and get involved. I mean, everybody is talking about this, the passage of the new health plan in the House and going ahead to Senate and just encouraging everyone to contact your legislators. Just go to your Senate's website and send an email or call, leave a voicemail to your senator and let them know that you don't want this. And speak up and have a voice. It worked the first time because the bill didn't pass the first time. Hopefully it can work again. But yeah, I agree. I wish they would. It's like naive. You want to wish that they won't let politics get in the way, or but you know that this is a big deal for Trump to pass something and say that he accomplished something.
Yeah.
He didn't have the best 100 days, and now he's got to at least get his health plan across. And it was a huge fail when he didn't. So for him, it's ego. It's like,
Yep.
I need to get something through. And unfortunately, they're not taking the time to maybe improve upon what's already there. They're just trying to rip it apart, and just build something even jankier.
Yeah, which is crazy. It just makes you like, sometimes you just want to like check out. You're like, oh, child, call me tomorrow. Like, I'll peek my head in, I'll read some stuff, and I'm like, oh, my head, my heart, I can't.
Well, it's
Ground
gonna
break, ground break.
it makes me just it makes me grateful to have, employer coverage. And I mean, it's gonna be, honestly, it's the yous of it's the you, it's the entrepreneurs, it's the
Yeah.
self-employed, it's the people who work for small businesses and then
Yeah.
don't get health care who are gonna have to deal with this crap.
I'm not gonna lie, as
That's a
soon as
shame.
we went to get our marriage license today, Superman was like, welcome to health insurance.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, because he's got awesome health insurance. He works for the city. So his health
Right.
insurance is like that grade A. Like, what? When he had his aneurysm surgery 2 years ago, he didn't pay not a nickel or a dime. I mean, he had like, all the best of everything, the best doctors, the best aftercare, everything. And and I just remember being like, whoa, what health insurance do you have? They even treat you differently. Mandy, when we walked in places, he would give his card and it was like we sat in a different waiting room. Like, oh no.
Really? That
You
makes
don't
me
have to be
sad
the
a
one.
little.
I remember, no, but I do remember like he had to get a he was like he had a headache after he'd had his surgery, and so he had to get a not a mammogram. Look at me. What are those things called when you go through like that? Like the not an ultrasound. They put you in that big, huge magnet. You lay on your back. It's like a little circle. They put you inside of it. Ultrasound. No, darn it, my
An
memory is the worst.
MRI? An MRI?
MRI. There you go. So I
Oof,
remember.
okay.
So we went to the emergency room, and they immediately put him in a room. And I was like, oh, okay. And then when we came out, the emergency room was full, and there was an older gentleman, like in his 70s, so like an older gentleman, in the hallway, on like a gurney. And I was like, well, how long have you been here? He was like, oh, hours. I said, well, what are you waiting for? He said, MRI. And I was like, what? And so when Superman found out, he went to the head nurse and said, like he can have my room. I didn't, we're waiting for the same thing. And I don't, it felt wrong to have the 70-year-old man like in the hallway. And she's like, oh, no. You guys are here for different things or whatever. And I asked my brother-in-law later, like, does that make sense? He was like, he said, I guarantee you, it's about insurance. He was like, your fiance can pay, his insurance can pay for that room, and that gentleman probably didn't have any. And it
Yep.
just made me say, wow, doesn't that feel so terrible,
That was my dad before Obamacare. My dad would go to Grady Memorial Hospital in Atlanta, and I would call him in the morning. He'd be in for like he's had knee pain and like other issues since he's gotten older. But yeah, he'd go in the morning and he would still be there when I got off work, waiting and waiting and waiting for an emergency room. I mean, my dad now, he has made friends and he has doctor friends who will see him. He had Obamacare. He had a plan through Obamacare. That's how he got his gastric bypass surgery. two or three years ago, and you know, that was completely covered, and he paid for it for a year, and then the prices got to be too expensive, and he was like, nope, not doing that anymore. So yeah, he didn't go back, and I don't think he will be back, and that scares me as his daughter, thinking of you know, what if something really serious happens, and you know, he'll laugh and he'll like look at, he'll show me his like bathroom counter, which is like covered in every single supplement that you can get at CVS basically, or that you can see on Dr. Oz. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I'm fine. I take my ginseng and my ding ding and I have my spinach smoothies, but I know that's not a healthcare plan.
Yeah.
And it, yeah, it's frustrating that there's nothing, you know, nothing for him, at least as it stands. And I don't see that it's going to be getting better anytime soon, fortunately.
So this is just a random little twist. Do you remember, like, you being a journalist and like, so have you ever written for Ebony magazine?
Never.
So do you know, you know, like, I don't know what happened with Ebony, but I guess one of their writers, did you see that? It was like a while ago, maybe like a week or so ago.
What happened?
Well, a writer had said like, oh, Ebony magazine is not paying its writers. And then it became this whole Twitter hashtag kind of like campaign where like other writers like stood up and were like, yeah, they have not paid me either. And it was like, oh, it's such a shame because, you know, Ebony is this iconic Black magazine, you know?
Yeah.
And I guess they've been struggling for a while financially, because I remember maybe it was last year that I heard that Ebony was trying to sell their archives, their like their pictures. The physical archives of, like, I guess their pictures that they've collected over years and years and years. And I thought, wow, that would truly be lost if it wasn't available for the public somewhere, like in a museum, and somebody like a private collector collected them. And I just remember thinking shady, like, oh, I remember I wrote for Ebony, like, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago, I wrote an article. It took them 9 months to pay me. I think it was like $300.
Oh.
9 months. Of like daily emails. And you know, back then $300 was, I mean, it's still a lot of money now, but especially back then, you know?
Yeah.
And I just remember every day, every week, every Monday, it was like one of my routines. It's Monday, time to hit up Ebony. You know? I didn't really think I was going to get it. And then one day it came in the mail and I nearly cried tears of joy. 9 months. And so I thought it was just me because, you know, like, who was I? I thought that they were like, girl.
Oh, it's never just you. Yeah, you know? Especially when it, yeah, these magazines, that's just a sign of trouble. And they've been struggling, though.
For a long time.
So what happened? Did that writer?
No, Ebony basically was like, we don't know what you're talking about. I mean, it's such a shame because, like I said, I just thought it was me. You know, of course, I was never going to say anything publicly or post anything or whatever. I just thought, oh, that I'm small time. And they were like, girl, you're not even on our radar or whatever. And but to hear that they haven't paid some major writers, I'm like, why is that? You know, that's crazy to me.
Google. Hello, Google. So, yeah. Oh, yeah. So on Friday, they announced that they were cutting 1/3 of their staff. And I was, at first I was like, oh my God, how many people? 10. There's only 35 employees.
Wow. That's sad.
Man, that's teeny for a magazine. 35. Yeah. Now they're only going to have 25.
That's crazy.
And they're moving from Chicago to California. I mean, it's especially sad because it's Ebony, which means so much to the African-American experience in the U.S., but also just, you know, magazines in general. It's just not like it used to be, you know, they're just, I studied magazines in college, and that's not even a major anymore because everyone knows that's not a career. You know, that's not a specific career you should be, you know, striving toward, I guess. You know, and I worked at a magazine at my first job in New York, and it's kind of sad to see them struggle.
Yeah, because you're right. It's iconic. And so, but you know, you've all heard that like magazines, you know, are not making money anymore, that people are really, you know, online and digital.
Maybe someone like big investor will save them. I feel like that's what they need.
I don't think that's gonna happen.
You never know.
Bezos, people have to make a shift. You know, like you heard it, Adidas, right? Adidas is no longer gonna be doing magazine ads or any of they're shifting all of their ad money to just digital. That's humongous.
Yeah, that's just killed some magazines.
I know, exactly. So it's hard, like, you know, even TV, look what's happening with Netflix and Hulu and stuff. Like And so, you know, some of the, you know, how do you get money for these shows? How you get money for these shows is these advertisers advertise on your show. But if, you know, people are not watching, then there's really no money in it for them. And honestly, my marketing guy, who I'm like, AKA the genius, one of the things he told me was, and this is years ago, a year or so ago, when we first started working together. He said, Tiffany, you have to get into digital marketing now. You know, at the time I was like, I don't even know what that means. And he was like, so he said, here's why. He said, right now, people don't really get it. So it's cheap. He said, like, for example, Google Ads, when they first came out, people, it was only the computer geeks. And so there was a lot of computer geeks making big money on Google Ads. And then once these big companies understand, hey, there's money to be made here, then they throw so much money at it that they make it so that you can't afford it anymore. You know, because, you know, Adidas is paying $10,000, you know, a day in ads. And you're like, what? My $10 doesn't do anything anymore. And so he was like, digital ads are like that. This was like last year or a year and a half ago. He was like, these large companies are slow to move. So there's still money in it. Like, it's one of the reasons, honestly, why I was able to go from when I started working with him, 20,000 community members, like Dreamcatchers, to 300,000 in a year and a half. It was because we were using digital ads and inexpensively. Like, we were converting people. And converting means this, that how much money do you have to spend for someone to take the action you want them to take? So I might say, hey, I want people to sign up for my challenge. And so I'm going to spend $10. And if the conversion rate is $1 per person, that means for every $10 I spend, I get 10 people. We were converting people for as low as a penny sometimes. That's unheard of. And so, and then there's some people who, if you're not good at doing ads, you convert people like for example, there, I know an insurance company that it takes them $25 to get one person. So now what's going to happen as these bigger companies kind of come into this digital space is that it's going to cost more money to convert, and smaller people are not going to have for that. And so for mm-hmm. those of y'all with small businesses, if you don't know nothing about Facebook ads or Instagram ads or whatever, you have like another year and maybe a little bit to learn before you get outpriced. And honestly, it's just, it's really why it's so useful, or it just even better than a magazine. Think about when you pick up a magazine, you never know who's picking up that magazine to see your ad. But when you're on Facebook, you can literally say, I want Black women ages 25 to 40 who live in Florida and like to watch Real Housewives of Atlanta. And Facebook will whittle it down to that list for you and only show your ads to those people. So you can really get so specific about who sees it, because once you know your archetype, like the type of person that enjoys your brand already, you can find that woman over and over and over and over again. That's what I figured out. Like, we figured out that women who liked Black Enterprise versus Essence liked me, and women who like, which is weird, Idris Elba, but not Oprah, liked me. Right? So there's like this weird like mix of a type of personality that really would enjoy me if they knew I existed. So once we figured out like what her archetype was, we just started putting ads toward her and, you know, and saying, hey, you know, we've got this like great, this great resource, the Live Richer Challenge. And so, yeah, if you're a business person, you need to learn now how to start doing digital ads and stuff, or else you're going to be left behind and it's going to get too expensive to do so.
Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
I just read this headline. I needed to share it, though. This Senate has – I was talking about, yeah, well, hopefully the Senate's going to block this health care bill, but I just read that they have formed a committee of 13 members, all of whom are men. to discuss the future of this healthcare act and, you know, women's needs. And, oh, yeah, the current version of the bill is going to defund Planned Parenthood for a year. So, yay, America. Yay. I just don't... Fabulous. Fantastic.
I'm like, so nobody has any daughters. Nobody has, like, any...
They don't care. They don't care. They don't care because they're like, oh, well, I have money. My daughter will be fine. They don't care about, you know, they don't care about the Susie who's the, you know, doesn't have health care. Her parents can't afford to help her, you know, or pay for her to travel across state lines to get an abortion if she's sexually assaulted or something like that. You know, they don't know. They cray.
Yeah, I'm just like, how do you sleep at night? And I'm just like, I guess you're right. Some people literally have divorced themselves from the fact that everyone doesn't look like them.
Absolutely. Well, it's easier than ever because they're increasingly living in a bubble where the people in the administration, every photo of the current administration makes me want to like hurl or makes my stomach tight because I see it is like white man, white man, mm-hmm. white man, white man, white man, woman, white man, white man.
Yeah, you know, it's Omarosa.
Omarosa, yeah. And you're like, oh, hey, look. Oh, no, she's just a reporter. Or like, oh, no, she's just there delivering the news or delivering the mail. You know, it's not a great time.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's a great segue into, are we going to boost or are we going to braid? Either way, we're staying brown. I like that. I think I'm going to keep that. It's brown break, brown boost time.
You're so confident. I'm like, yeah, I like it too.
I don't know. I just had to like loosen up, like lighten up the mood. Cause I'm like, oh, that whole 45 makes me so depressed.
45 like what?
No, 45. You know, that's the number our president's,
okay.
The president's, I don't even like saying his name. So 45 Voldemort. Makes me, yeah. Le Moron makes me depressed.
Le Moron. Le Moron. You gonna boost or break?
Fine
evening.
I think I'm going to boost. It's a little random, but I think it's a little lighthearted. So I'm gonna boost Zendaya. Here's why. This young woman is everything. Have you seen this? Like, you know, there's a show called Lip Sync Battle.
Yes, I know. Yes. Anyway, yes.
Oh, look, we're both on the same cultural page. Look at this.
I see YouTube videos. I know. I know what's up. Chrissy Teigen, right? LL Cool J.
Yes. And so it's a fun show. And I mean, I've seen everybody on there from Lupita to Mary J. Blige. It's just a fun, fun, fun show. So Zendaya did, she did this really fun Erykah Badu lip sync battle to Tyrone. She's got the big head wrap. Honestly, it's literally everything.
Oh, I gotta watch that.
Yes, it is everything. I was like, wait a minute. So I just said, you know what? I always love her. She looked amazing at the Met Gala. She had very Afrocentric dress on, huge like loose curl fro.
Oh, I was definitely watching the Met Gala red carpet via Twitter.
Yeah,
just refreshing that hashtag. Refresh. Where's Rihanna at? Refresh.
I know.
That's the 15th picture of Mindy Kaling. Refresh.
Exactly. She was everything at the Met Gala, and so yeah, I just think that Zendaya. Every time you know you read about her. She's either standing up for herself or someone else's rights or just slaying. And so just a little boost to you, Z. That's it.
I love her. Good boost. And it's fun. If you follow, like, there's like a new class of young black girl magic, like among celebrities, like Yara Hashidi from Blackish, and then Zendaya, and then Amandla Stenberg, and then too, it's like their fairy godmothers, like Tracee Ellis Ross and Kerry Washington, Shonda Rhimes, and Ava DuVernay, and I follow them all on Instagram, and it's so cute because they all share each other's posts, and they all like you know, support each other. It's really beautiful, but just throwing that out there. I'm gonna do a boost too, and I love this time of year because it's college graduation season. And congratulations to the class of 2017, which includes my really good friend Talu, who just actually got her master's. I just got her MBA, and I'm super proud of her because she did it while commuting an hour and a half to school with a toddler. For half the year he was in daycare at her school, so she was commuting with her son to class, like really just juggling everything. So shout out to Talu.
Hey, Talu.
Hey, Talu. And I want to shout out because my favorite time of – this is – the reason I like this time of year so much is because there's always these like fabulous stories of these like black girl, black boy magic of like kids getting into every single Ivy League school. And there's two that we shared and I wanted to share them. So this one is that is this teenager who apparently did not get asked to prom, which I can't imagine because she's gorgeous.
Yeah, I saw this. Hilarious. Continue.
So instead of not, instead of going, you know, just spending the night at home and eating ice cream, she showed up at prom with her Harvard acceptance letter in her hand. And
yes.
so badass. I'm like, who, what school does she go to for some idiot not to want to take her to prom? I don't understand. So shout out to her. I'm going to find her name real quick. Oh, Priscilla Samey. She's 17 years old. So that was badass. And then the quadruplets, did you see this? The quadruplets, yes, from Ohio.
Yes.
Who all got into Ivy Leagues and they're going to go to college together.
That is awesome.
Where are they going? Yale. Oh, Yale. Yeah. They're going all going to Yale.
That's a good parenting right there.
Seriously. It's hard to get one kid right. Plus four.
I know. And then on top of that, like, what? I mean, I've been like, my sister, you know, she just had her baby. So I've been like sleeping over because her husband works nights, and I was sleeping over and like babysitting, or at least helping, because she had the newborn that she has to get up every few hours to feed. And then she's got the 1.5-year-old, Roman, who is crazy in a good way, but still crazy. And I was like, yo, two, I would try to put the baby to sleep and Roman is doing flips like, look at me. His big thing is, wow. He knows like three words. Wow. Wow. I'm like, Roman, we get it. It's 2:00 in the morning. Wow. I'm like, I don't know. What are you communicating? That was so overwhelmed. I can't imagine four. So congrats to your parents, quadruplets. Quadruplets, quads, whatever. Just congrats.
And the dad is quoted as saying, what's the secret? He says, lots of push-ups and sit-ups and running. Discipline and structure. That's a good dad right there.
Yeah, I could see that. Like, what you're not going to do is make me crazy.
I guess just, God, man, like good parenting, I guess. Just as four kids at one time, my God.
Did you see that article that said the kids inherit their smarts from their mom?
Oh, I believe that 100%.
Yeah, I was like, huh, I never thought they were like, because I guess, is it the Y, is it women's, we're the Y chromosome or the X chromosome?
We have double X.
So double X, and they said that your intelligence is found in that chromosome, so it doesn't matter who your daddy is, your mama gives you your brain. And I said, oh, interesting.
Some dads are like, whew, not my fault.
Yeah, basically, that's all you. So I just thought I'd throw that in there, like, all right, well, congratulations, mama.
Well, that's my brown break to all the college grads of 2017. Makes me feel so old.
No. What about these prom pictures? Prom 2K? No, what is it? Prom 217K? I don't know, girl.
Prom 2K?
No, prom 17. I mean, like, I've been seeing, like...
Oh, 2K17?
That's what it is. 2K17. And so if you click on that, these prom dresses... I mean, I was on looking today and I thought to myself, so is she 25? I mean, these girls look like grown, beautiful, accomplished. I have a job and a Porsche and a penthouse apartment in New York City women. And meanwhile, they're like, I'm 16.
Their parents are like, they look the credit card bill.
I don't have this together now. Like now, I can't even slay like that. These girls are out here slaying and I can't deal and I love it.
Did you go to prom?
I did, but nobody asked me either. So my best friend had her date say, you know, I'm going with Tiffany and Veronica. I was like, oh, I love you, Veronica.
That's the way to do it. Just go with your girlfriends.
Yeah.
Just go with your girlfriends.
I remember asking my mom, like, can you hook me up? She was like, yeah, no.
I do remember that my 12th grade prom dress was like my first big purchase. I think it was $280. And I picked it out a special and I worked really hard at the Gap. And then I took my gay ex-boyfriend to the prom.
Did you know he was gay? Well, obviously not when you were dating.
No, I was so naive. Everybody but me knew. Let's not go down that road. Now you guys know officially, you officially know way too much about my life. Way too much.
Right.
Shout out to him. He's great.
Right.
He was a great dance partner.
Yeah, I think we've all liked the guy that you're like, how did I not go?
Not only did I go with him, I turned down the hot 6-foot-something basketball player who I will not name. Maybe he listens.
Why'd you turn him down?
Because I had a crush on my gay ex-boyfriend.
Oh, my goodness.
He He was very sensitive and listened to me.
Oh my gosh. Like, he is so great. He's like a friend. He's like, if you only knew.
He braids my hair. No, I'm not kidding. He didn't do that. All right. Anyway, we're going down a treacherous path.
Yes, we are. But that is hilarious. But Mandy's like, no. Clearly, like, yeah, that is hilarious.
They weren't all Ivy League quadruplets when we were in school, okay? Should have gone to school with the Ivy League quadruplets. Our listeners do have questions, and you know what I love even more is when people get up to us or back to us. I can't speak today. When they get back to us with updates, so I don't remember what we used for this woman's code name a while back, but she asked us a question. I would say a couple months ago. She says a few weeks ago. I feel like it was longer. Asking about, she needed encouragement to find a new job and to continue her job search. She wasn't happy at her job. And I forget what we said, but apparently it was awesome because she says, I just wanted to let you know that I ended up having two offers this week for new opportunities I found through networking. I have happily accepted an offer and will be starting at the end of May.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Right? We be making things happen. Meanwhile, I'm like, what do we say?
I'm sure she did all the work.
I know.
But that's exciting. Yay. Even when you're down, you always bounce back, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
So if you have questions, as always, you can go to brownambitionpodcast.com. Where you at?
I'm slow. All right, go ahead.
Or you can email us at brownambitionpodcast@gmail.com. And if you go to the website, brownambitionpodcast.com, you just have to click on Ask Us Anything. And while you're there, take a look around at our beautiful website. Go to our Facebook page. Like us there. Leave us a note. Chill out. Meet each other. Anyway, I'm mumbling now, so we'll go on to today's question. Let's just call her Kay.
Kay, okay.
KK. So she says, hi girls, I'm a new listener and I am trying to become more aware and educated on my finances. Listening to your podcast, I realized that I'm currently in a circumstance that no one really talks about anymore. I'm currently working for a small business owner, and although it's very successful, my boss is not in a position to provide our office with any benefits other than vision and dental. With that being said, what is the best way to invest in a retirement fund without the assistance of an employer and without employer matching?
Child, you sure this is not one of my employees? I know it's not because they don't even get vision and dental. Anyway, we're working on it.
I think this is probably a lot more common than some people think, because a lot of small businesses don't have to offer. If you have under a certain, I think like 25 or 50, you don't have to offer any benefits. So, that's tough, but not impossible.
Yep.
I think your first step is, and she asked specifically about retirement, although she didn't mention where she gets healthcare from. But since she asked about retirement, I would say you can easily open an IRA through a brokerage firm, and some of my favorites because they tend to be very transparent, very long-term investment and very affordable, are Vanguard, Charles Schwab. I'm about to get Transamerica and TD Ameritrade mixed up, but they're both fine. But top pick will probably be Vanguard, and Charles Schwab.
Fidelity is another one. A Roth IRA, or you're telling her a traditional IRA.
Well, I mean, that's up to her. The difference between a Roth and a traditional IRA, you put money in and it's put in tax-free and you're taxed later when you withdraw the funds. Mm-hmm. With a Roth IRA, you're taxed today at your current tax rate and you withdraw the funds tax-free when you're ready to retire.
Yeah.
If you're wondering, why would I just give the government money now? The idea, if you're younger, they typically say – although you'd probably want to get advice from investment expert, but typically the idea generally and why they'd want to recommend people take out a Roth IRA is because if you get taxed at your current tax rate, as you get older, the idea is that your income will increase and so will your tax rate. So really it's a tax savings, because if you're getting taxed at a lower rate today, it means you won't get taxed at your higher rate later.
Yep.
But again, it's hard to give general advice. But unfortunately, there's not much you can do if you don't get a match from your employer. All you can do is increase or try to increase. Invest all that a little bit more than what you maybe would do if you were getting a match from your employer, right?
Because I don't know too many small businesses that do match. I mean, because it's expensive to, like, you know, bring on. So in to be all transparent, I just switched from an LLC, which is basically like, it's just a different type of business, to an S corp, where now I work for my business. I'm not my business, which LLC is kind of like you are your business, you know? And so with an S corp, you have to have at least one employee, one official employee. Like right now, on the books, they're not the people who work for me are not employees. They are contractors, right? Mm-hmm. So because I can't afford, and we're working toward that, but I can't afford, because if I make somebody an employee, there's certain things that you have to do. Like, you know, there's certain taxes you have to pay. I have to provide certain level of healthcare, you know, that kind of stuff. So right now I'm the only official employee. And then the next employee, like hopefully later on this year, it'll be my COO, Sierra. And then we'll bring on more people, but you have to be able to pay for that. And so, you know, so you kind of ask yourself, do I bring on additional employees, or the employees I do have, do I give them better benefits? And so everything costs, you know, a lot of money, basically. But if you're with a company that you really see a lot of growth there, and you see that it's like, you know, that there's something happening here, these are things you could talk to your employer about, like, you know, we'd really love this. Because now, for example, I have for lack of a better word, I guess she's like our CFO. But, you know, like I said, I don't have any employees. She just does contract work for us. But she has been like really helping us to see what we're making versus what we're spending and what we can spend. Before, like literally, this is how I used to make decisions. Sierra would be like, hey, you know, I think we should get this program. It's going to, you know, make it smoother to like add courses to the academy. How much is it? $30 a month. All right. Like I had no I don't know.
The budget. Nisa had no budget for the business.
Yeah, which is so crazy, because in my personal life, I budget to the T. But with the business, I was more like, I don't know. You just do whatever you can to grow. And I'm like, the thing is, we don't have any debt. The business doesn't have any debt. And so I just kind of felt like, well, we made money. So I know there's more than $30 left over. So yeah, but there was no real, I couldn't tell you what I was making versus what I was spending. Although I kept really copious, I kept really detailed records. So when Rachel, our new CFO, came on, she was like, for someone who was all over the place, you have like the best records. So like I kept record of every penny spent and every penny made, but there was no sense made out of those records. You see what I mean? And so like, just because there was so much on top of everything else, I didn't really like, yeah, I could tell you like, oh, you know, this month we made 10,000 and then we spent, you know, too, but there is no real sense made of like, well, where is the money really going? You know, how much of this is staff? How much of this is this? How much? So I didn't have any like reports. I just had like numbers, like 10 to 8, 10 to 2, 3 to 4, you know? Yeah. And so with her coming on, like I asked her the other day, I always feel like that we're spending too much, you know? And I asked her the other day, for example, the academy. And I was like, you know, Rachel, can you share with us, like, you know, if we have a meeting every Thursday with like a money meeting every Thursday with everyone. Rachel and I talk almost every day about money, but with everyone. And she said, you know, that we spend 6%, our operating expense is 6% of our gross. I'm like, what? That's good, right? She was like, Tiffany, that's incredible. And I was like, oh. Meanwhile, who knew? She's like, Tiffany, you only have to spend $6 to make $100. And I was like, that's good. Okay. And so now we can work from a place of, you know, how business should go. So the two things I wish I would have known better, you know, as far as running a business is like, one, I should have gotten like an assistant sooner, and two, your money person. And so I say that to say, I'm BA listener with this letter, that sometimes sitting down and talking with, like, I don't know how small the small business is, but oftentimes, you know, small business owners are good at not necessarily the money aspect, but they're good at the thing that they're doing. They're good at baking the cake, or they're good at singing the song, or teaching, or whatever that is. But they're not necessarily good at running the business. And a little nudging, a little suggestion can go a long way, because I know it would go a long way for me. And so, you know, that would be my advice is that, yes, do it on your own, but don't discount that they haven't done it just because they don't want to. Maybe they just need some help restructuring, you know, their finances.
Right. And that's what makes it sort of hard to work for a small business, too, is that it's almost good because you're so close and up close and personal with your bosses, with the founders and whatnot. And you have the opportunity to speak up and ask for what you need or what you want. But it also is kind of like you have to, because it's not like anyone else is going to do it.
Yep.
You know, like you really have to be your advocate. There's no HR department and, you know, no union or whatever to talk up. So, but in the near future, what Kay can certainly do is just open up a basic IRA. And I'm a big fan of target date funds. I think they're super simple. And these are just basically funds where you match it to the date you anticipate that you'll retire, and they'll invest your funds accordingly. And typically that means more aggressive starting out with more stocks. And then as you get older and closer to retirement, it'll wean you off and shift your investments more toward low risk investments like bonds. I definitely know that Vanguard, Charles Schwab, Fidelity all have their own versions of target date funds. So they're all good. And you only need about, what, $500 to start? $500 to $1,000 to open up one of these accounts. So not very much.
Yeah. So just get started. The sooner the better when it comes to retirement.
Absolutely. And you don't let the fact that you don't have, it makes it harder if you don't have, you know, a employment offering for benefits. But at the same time, I mean, just because your employer offers you benefits doesn't mean it's going to be awesome.
Yep.
Like a good retirement plan. So it's nice to have control over everything in a way.
Yeah.
So thanks, Kay. And again, if you have questions, go to brownambitionpodcast.com or email us brownambitionpodcast@gmail.com. No, I knew you still knew it.
Yeah, I was on it that one. I was like waiting. I was like, okay, she's about to say it. Okay, just be quiet. Is it time for wins?
I believe it's wins. It's been a while since we've done wins.
I know. All we do is win, no matter what. We haven't done wins in a while, so what? So, yeah, so it's time for wins. you go first.
Wins.
Clearly nobody came up here with wins.
I forgot what wins were supposed to be.
They're supposed to be, I mean, they can be personal, but it's just supposed to be like, you know, because sometimes, and I mean, today was decent, but I think we started wins because, you know, it was during the time of the reign of he who shall not be named when that transition was happening, and it got a little heavy and we needed something. We wanted to always end on a bright note. And so wins were like, no matter what we talked about, whether how bad or whatever, that we always ended with something positive.
Got it. I'm back on the wins train.
Well, here's a win, even though this is like, you know, a little bit on the old side. But no, I'm not going to do that one. That is really old. That's enough.
What was it going to be? Now I need to know.
Like, don't play yourself. I'm like, all right. let's see. I don't know. I just think wins are just brown girls in general, because we're like we're pretty awesome, I have to say. I don't know. We're just out here slaying and, you know,
it's the laziest win I've ever heard.
I know. I mean, I know. I thought I had a win and I was like, I don't. That's a personal win. I feel like I already talked about, like, you know, what's the name? Well, I'm going to be at Essence Fest. So, like,
I have a win, but it's really fun listening to you ramble.
Okay. Yes, really. Little child. Yes. Please bring her in.
Let's see how long Tiffany can go. I did want to do a win. And actually, I had this written down for last week. I was prepared for a win last week, but we didn't do one. And it's going to sound like a cheap one, but it's really meaningful. And I wanted to give a win to my sister.
Aww.
Who I feel like is, she's like the unsung hero of my life and of my siblings' lives. And I just feel super appreciative to her. You know how in a family, like, we have four siblings, and I feel like there's always the one who gets, like, the brunt of everyone's, like, mm-hmm. you know, they're the ones that you get all the phone calls. They're the one who have to deal with the emergencies and, you know, be there when, you know, the parents need something or when something goes wrong and just handling everything. And anyway, so I feel like my sister is just, like, the backbone of our siblings right now. And at the same time, I want to give her that shout out, which she definitely deserves because she's amazing. And she, you know, kept me sane even before, you know, she was my maid of honor and it was her job to keep me sane. She's always there supporting me. But she makes me think a lot about the role of, like, sisters in families and how the women in families typically end up being the caretaker. And mm-hmm. I look at my sister and I kind of already see that we are defaulting toward, okay, Mallory will take care of it. My sister's mm-hmm. name is Mallory. You know, she'll be the one. And it makes me, like, I started having a talk with her about it because I felt bad. I wanted to stop doing that so much because I didn't want her to feel like every time something goes wrong, she must be the one to swoop in because it wears you down.
Yeah, it does.
After a while. And it's not really fair to that sibling. And I mean, we don't have to. I mean, there was Viceland, which is that Vice network. They have a business finance show, and they had a woman on talking about the role of women and how women almost always end up being the default caretaker, and how women are more likely to turn down promotions because they have to take care of elder family or spouses. Women are more likely to leave the workforce because they have to be a caretaker and to sacrifice themselves. And I feel like it doesn't always have to be that way. Like, sometimes it is because there's only the daughter or only the niece or whatever. But I feel like in families, sometimes it's easy to step back and say, okay, well, my sister has it.
Yeah.
And she's the one, you know, that can take care of it. And I certainly did this when my mother, a couple of years ago, my mother fell and shattered her kneecap on mm-hmm. ice. And I went from my week to Wisconsin and I spent my week with her. And after that, my sister was on her own and she was the only one living near her to take care of her. And that's like, my mother couldn't use the bathroom on her own. So, I mean, that's like around the clock taken care of. And she was there for months and months and months for her recuperation. And I kind of used that distance as an excuse, but I just wanted to give her the shout out and the win, but also Mallory. Just...
You're awesome. Right. And your mother had those moves on the dance. So I'm like, really? She healed great.
I know. It is. I mean, when I think about if I showed you pictures or video of my mom 2 years ago, I swear I was like, she's never going to walk again. Like, I just had to help my mother use the bathroom. This is crazy. She's in her mid-50s. That was so scary. So scary. And her recovery was amazing. She also lost 50 pounds this year. Let's just give mom a shout out too. Let's give mom a win.
Yeah, while we're here, right? Yeah.
Why and honestly, not?
Your sister's got great energy and so does her wife. I was just like, oh, they were just all of your family when I was there and husband's family. It was just such a great, like, warm, welcoming environment. And so everybody gets a shout out. You get a shout out. You get a shout out. Everybody gets a shout out. You know, even what's his name? Your best friend's guy,
Baron or Kevin?
Baron. Not you, Baron. You left me. No, I'm just joking, Baron. Thank you so much. Because I know he's listening.
I don't think anyone's ever been mad at Baron Brown. Like,
no, he is really awesome too. He had such great energy. He made sure that I was good. So yeah, sisters are really. I mean, there's something special about sisters. I mean, brothers too, but I don't have any brothers, so I wouldn't know. So, but. There's just something special about sisters and how far they'll go for you. So that's awesome. Thanks, Mallory.
But they also have to take care of themselves. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
It's the balance. It's nice to be the one who swoops in, but it's also like up to the rest of us. Me, who's the most awkward caretaker in all of history, needs to get better at trying and being there.
I've got a win.
Yes.
Yes. So I was just doing a little scrolling through. So a friend of mine named Evita Turquoise Robinson. Yes, that's her real name.
Wait, I know that name. Where do I know that name?
She is the founder of Nomadness.
Got it.
And so Nomadness, for those who don't know, is this awesome travel community specifically for people of color, brown people, brown ambition people, right? So Evita was already awesome. I was already like, oh, Evita's awesome. She's amazing. Her movement, like you're seeing this huge uptick in brown travel. And honestly, they really credit a lot of it to her. And there's like a few other kind of like folks that has started that movement, but she's one of the founding folks. So she's like I said, amazing. But what I love about Evita is, yes, No Madness is great, but she's always been so civic minded. And recently she dropped to me one of the most amazing things that she could have done outside of starting No Madness. She started this lip stain line called Compass by Evita. And I was like, oh, this is cute. Like, okay, these lip stains that you can wear. And honestly, the stains are actually really nice. You know, sometimes people make things and you're like, oh, I guess. But they're really nice. But what I love about it is that she names the lip stain after a city in the world. Like, there's Aleppo, there's Joburg, there is Haiti. Well, Haiti's a country, but whatever. Bangkok, Lagos for Nigeria, Soweto for South Africa. So she names the lip stain after places in the world. And because she's so like pro women focused, she gives 10% of the income from that lip stain to women in that country. How dope is that?
That's amazing.
And so what I love about it is that, yeah, you get to buy this dope product, but you're buying something where you're giving to women like you in other countries. So she just today, she just dropped what percentage of lip stains are selling, what's selling more. Joburg has gotten the most, and then Haiti has gotten the second most, I guess, of sales. And so if you loving to wear and the lip stains, what I love about them, I don't know how she made this work, but her campaign, she shows women of all brown shades, not just brown shades, women, period. Honestly, it's not just a lip stain line just for brown girls. But so women of all shades wearing these stains, and it looks good from super, super chocolate girls like me to lily white girls like some of her friends have worn it. And you're like, wow, that's the same lip stain. It looks amazing. It's like the sisterhood of the traveling pants where the jeans fit all of their body sizes.
Yeah.
That's what the lip stain does. And I'm just really proud of her because this is just something that she's created to bring awareness to the fact that there are women around the world that really need our help, but doing it in a way that's like fun. And that way you could participate, you know, while buying something really cute and like, you know, so girly, like a lip stain, but knowing that your contribution is helping other women. So if you're interested in learning more about it, it's Compass by Evita, E-V-I-T-A .com. And get yourself a lip stain. I've ordered the red. I think it's Aleppo, and I'm excited about it. 'Cause I'm like, ooh, I love me a good red. Now it's time to say goodbye to all our company.
I guess we have a few. Is this the end credits of Golden Girls?
Yes. No. How do you not know? Oh my God, I forgot you're millennial. E-R-O-W-N, ambition. It's the Mickey Mouse Club. M-I-C-K.
Oh, yeah. I know that.
Mandy.
Justin Timberlake was on that.
You're either super young or super old, depending on what the topic is. Mandy's like, what? But you did know Golden Girls, which so, you know, you actually knew the name of that, even though you're new to them, right? Was it you who never heard of Golden Girls? Like, you never watched the episode until recently?
Yes, that was me.
Yeah, so, you know, we're slowly bringing you into the Gen X. Am I Gen X or Gen Y? I don't even know. But either way, Brown Ambition, it's been awesome as per usual.